CJLO News. I'm Holly Cabrera. Police suspect that the former employee of Mouvement Desjardins, who allegedly stole the personal information of 2.9 million clients, has already sold the data to criminal groups overseas. According to the Journal de Montréal, authorities believe the former employee used the dark web to reach out to 12 individuals linked to foreign criminal organizations interested in purchasing the data. The House of Commons Standing Committee on Public Security will hold a hearing on the Desjardins data breach next Monday. Toronto's Baycrest Hospital let go of 150 employees yesterday for allegedly misusing $5 million in health benefits. Concerns from last year about employees making extended health care claims under the benefits plans prompted the investigation. The hospital's external benefits administrator will be conducting additional audits to confirm the total amount of losses. Staff will also receive further education on the benefits plans to prevent them from being misused in the future. Sudan's military council foiled a coup attempt, according to a military spokesperson on Thursday. The Guardian reports that 12 officers and 4 civilians have been arrested. The attempted coup came as the military council and protest leaders were in discussions about a power-sharing deal, which would form a joint transitional civilian-military ruling body. Sudan has been in turmoil since President Omar al-Bashir was ousted in April, following months of street protests. To hear the news and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Spank Me on CJLO 6090. It is currently 24 degrees here at Loyola campus. It feels like 24 degrees, thank God. Thank God the humidity is not messing up everyone else. I mean, there is humidity because my hair is reflecting it, but it's not dreading on my soul and it's not like completely tearing my body apart. So it's good. Finally, the sun came out. Bless the universe, bless Mother Nature. It was about time. Because I have like the worst of luck. Like Fridays are my days off and it has been like 4 weeks in a row where my Fridays are like, it's like an awful temperature. And I'm really mad at nature and at the world for this because I want to tan and I want to go to the pool because pools are free during weekdays. And I can't because every time I have a day off, it's an awful day. So I don't know. I don't know what kind of luck I'm having, but I don't know what the universe is. Maybe the universe is trying to send me a message, or maybe they want me to stay in and take care of myself and self-care. I don't know. But point is that I'm happy for today. I really am. So, oh, wait a minute. I jumped into something too quickly. I didn't even introduce the show because I'm assuming that everyone knows what Spank Me is, but maybe not. Spank Me is a talk show. Sexual positive sex talk show, sex. So you may have guessed what the show is about. It's about sex. Every week, I welcome a new guest, and then we kind of dissect various aspects of sexuality. We go into depth. I ask questions. They're the expert. They answer, and then that's kind of the conversation. It's kind of like a sexuality 101 for people who skipped sex ed in high school. So, and I'm your host, Kemi. I will be there until the end of Spank Me. I'm your host. I'm the only host. So hi, nice to meet you, everyone. So because it's a sex show, there will be sensitive subject and sensitive language. And I don't know how everyone feels about it, but if you're not with it, you don't want to hear me say penis and vagina, that's totally fine. You can absolutely not listen to this. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to hunt you down. You can just like kind of tune out and come back to us in like an hour or so, because then there will be another show and it won't be about sex. And I won't be offended at all, I promise. So today, we are talking about the art of burlesque performers and performances. Actually, before I introduce my guests, I did a bit of research on it because I'm a good host and I like to know a little bit of what I'm talking about. And although for people who have been listening to the show, before I took like a 3-month break, I actually had another guest who was a burlesque dancer come on the show. So that was really neat. And I learned a bunch, but I mean, you can get various perspective on burlesque dancing from various burlesque dancers in Montreal. So I decided to invite another one, and we'll get her perspective and her point of view on burlesque dancing. So before we dive into that, I actually wanted to share a couple of facts for people who have no idea what burlesque is, and for people who basically didn't see burlesque with Christina Aguilera, because that's the only reference that I have. Historically talking, traditionally talking, burlesque was a type of like variety show that was like provocative and comedic. It was kind of just like to entertain people, and it was usually a female. I hate saying female. It was a woman, okay? It was a woman, and it was like solo dances, and it was vulgar in some sense, but like I don't know. It's hard for me to speak on that because I don't know much but that. But people say that it was vulgar. Okay. And it featured like striptease acts and whatnot. And actually, fun fact, we can thank burlesque for the birth of certain stars in Hollywood, aka, where did I put that? I'm sorry, everyone. I'm looking at my notes, and right now when I'm trying to find something, I can't find it. So... okay, Mae West and Fanny Brice. I should know Mae West because I'm studying film studies. Mae West and Fanny Brice, they came from burlesque. So you can thank this art for amazing superstars. Mae West was one of my idols. She's amazing. And I'm not going to say more than that because our guest is really going to explain it in better terms and with better words. But yeah, so essentially burlesque is kind of like it's an entertainment show, and And it involves like costumes and makeup, and it involves being comfortable with your body, and it's just really free. I feel like it's a freeing experience for people who do it. I hope so, because I look at burlesque dancing and I'm like, oh my god, I wish I had such courage to go on stage and do it. And if I did, I would totally do it all the time because it's so empowering. But anyways, that was just my personal opinion. While I was doing research, I actually found out that there is a burlesque show coming up on the 10th of August. It's at the Wiggle Room. For people who don't know what the Wiggle Room is, it's on Saint Laurent. It's right off Schwartz Deli, by the way. Fun fact. And it's a venue that hosts a lot of like vaudeville shows. So they have like drag shows, and then they have also burlesque shows all year long. And 'tis the season to embrace burlesque. And on the 10th of August, they are presenting The Wizard of Oz Burlesque. Wow. And it's presented by Lily Monroe. So that's crazy. And if it's anything like the previous show they did, it was called The Disney After Dark. And one of my friends saw it, and it apparently was really nice. So I would recommend, if you're not doing anything on like a Saturday or Sunday night, like for sure go check out what's going on at Wiggle Room. It might be really fun for you. Tickets are like $23, like going to the cinema, like an expensive cinema, or going to the theater. And it's a good show. So support local artists. That's all I have to say. All right. So I'm not going to drag this forever. Like, it's better off if we just get into the discussion right away. But before that, we're going to introduce a song, because I like to have little breaks of song breaks. There are usually songs that my guests have chosen. And this afternoon, the song was actually chosen by my guest. Her name is Sugar Vixen. That's her artist name. And she's a burlesque dancer in Montreal. And right after Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill, we are going to dive into her art and to her work and to her passion into more details. So stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back.
Proud to bring you Bucket Fest 4.0, happening at Piranha Bar on Friday, July 12th. Come and check out some doomy sludge from Indian Handcrafts, Brash from Chemical Way, Hardcore from Hellbent, Synthwave from Procyon Loader, and some good old-fashioned raunch and roll from Voltang. Tickets are $15 in advance and $20 at the door, and the show starts at 7 p.m. Come early for contests and drink specials, and stay late for an 80s and 90s dance party. For more information, visit www.bucketlistmusicreviews.com.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
And have the iconic sounds of cinema?
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson.
Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday from 8 to 9 a.m.
Only on CJLO 1690 a.m. in Montreal with your hosts Remy
and Danny.
Welcome back, everyone. You were listening to Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill. So please, a warm welcome to my guest tonight, Sugar. How are you?
I'm good, Kemi. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm really happy that you're here.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. My pleasure. So this is your first time? No, this is not your first time on the radio.
Not my first time on the radio, but my first time with CJLO.
Oh, wow. Yes. I'm so happy. It's an exclusive interview, guys. So you should be happy.
Thank you.
So let's just dive in directly because I have 1,000 questions and we only have like 30 minutes.
Lay it on me.
So essentially, like, how did you get into burlesque?
It's kind of a long story. I trained as a dancer kind of my whole life. I trained in hip hop. I was on a troupe.
Oh my God. In Montreal?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. You're a hip hop dancer.
Yes, that's my predominant background, believe it or not. But I also trained in ballet, in salsa. But I kind of fell out of love with it and I stopped training. But then when I was in CJEP, I was taking my humanities classes with New School. And I had a guest speaker in one of my humanities classes named Sasha Van Bonbon.
No way!
Yeah, and she was a burlesque dancer, a sex worker, rights activist, mm-hmm. sex worker, playwright. Just like everything that I respected and that I wanted to be. Like, I saw her and I was like, this is like the most badass woman I've ever seen. So I was like, how do I get into burlesque? Like, I can see myself doing this because I really, you know, I had a training, a dance background. So I really thought that I could bring that to table.
Sorry, did you ask her or was it just like a mental question? Like,
I actually did ask her and it was around Halloween and I was 19 years old and I was like dressed up in like David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust garb and she thought I was really cute. So she was just like, you know, like I would approach your local troops and just kind of ask them how you can get involved. So that's exactly what I did. And I reached out to the Blood Ballet Cabaret and then kind of started learning the ins and outs, and then I started taking classes with Arabesque Burlesque, and then I graduated, quote unquote, from there and did my first burlesque number and then kind of just didn't stop.
Okay, so you've been doing it for how many years now?
6 years.
6 years.
This November will be 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is this your full-time job?
I also, it's really, really hard to do burlesque completely full-time. Like, a lot of performers that do it full-time, they also have a side gig, like, whether they teach classes or they make costumes for other people and themselves, or sometimes they work in strip clubs, or sometimes they even, like, work a side hustle, like, normal job working for TELUS. Honestly, like, it really varies.
Okay.
Me personally, my side hustle is that I work in a strip club, and that's what I do.
Really? Like, do you, as a stripper, or, like, as something else?
As a stripper.
As a stripper,
yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Surprise! Yeah.
What is your passion? Is your passion being a stripper or is your passion being a burlesque dancer?
100%, 1,000% being a burlesque dancer. If
Why?
I could, because it's an art form, right? Mm-hmm. So like, that's my passion. That's what I'm passionate about. Like, I know musicians that like also have to work in construction to get by. Like, it's so freaking hard to make it as an artist,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, hopefully one day I will be able to do that like completely full time. But for the time being, it's hard because it's kind of like I have two full time jobs.
What do you mean?
So I work as a dancer in a strip club, and that's a full time job.
Yeah.
But doing my art, that is also a full time job.
Okay.
Because if I want to be good at what I do, that means like I have to put in so many hours, like rehearsing in the studio, creating choreography. I make my own costumes for the most part. So like putting in hundreds upon hundreds of hours making my costumes, like it's really like I'm trying to manage two full-time
yeah.
jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because just because I don't have like the means of doing burlesque full-time, like where, you know, it would be the equivalent of having a salary, I still have to put the work in to
okay.
be a good artist.
Mm-hmm. It's
cause,
true, yeah.
Because otherwise yeah. I ain't eating, you know? Like, I have... so, yeah, it's, like, it's really hard. I do everything. I'm, like, an independent artist, like, independent contractor.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in charge of everything. Like, not just what I put on stage, but also, like, my bookings.
Yeah.
Or, like, when I go on tour. Like, I organize all of that.
Wow.
And, like, that's the kind of work that, like, if you go to a burlesque show and you see what's happening on stage, there is so much more shit that is happening behind the scenes that you don't even know
exactly,
about.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, because, like, historically speaking, like, people used to associate... Well, burlesque dancing kind of became... Like, kind of went under the tones of, like, striptease, and people started to
yeah.
associate both together. And you do both, but
yes.
you still say that burlesque is, like... is your it's what you love.
Yeah.
But what's different between striptease and burlesque dancing?
Okay, basically the major difference is that I see burlesque is like a more theatrical kind of striptease. It's
okay.
like a more glamorized version, like we have big costumes and it's like a performance art, right?
Yeah.
Working in a strip club, it's a form of sex work. It's like an exchange of like sexual services, because dancers are not only dancing and exerting physical labor, but they're also talking to clients in
okay.
order to sell these dances. So it's like an emotional and mental and physical labor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work. It's hard.
I can't imagine. I've been to like one strip club in my
yeah.
life, and there are some girls that look so into it, and other girls that you can see that they're like, oh, I'm kind of fed up for the night. And maybe
yeah.
it's just like their face. Like, they just have that natural, like, I don't know, tired face. But
in any job, in any environment, there's
yeah.
going to be good days and bad days. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm really just like, whenever I have these conversations, I really need to like emphasize that it's a job like any other job. And
yeah.
like, it's still highly stigmatized, and that's something that I really want to like work towards alleviating, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because for myself personally, I have agency and I have choice. So whenever people come into the club and they think that they're the boss and they have power over me, it's like, no, honey. Like, I am using patriarchal society and subverting it, like, by making money and profiting off
That's
of these
exactly
off of these people. I'm using my body as a dancer to make a living, and I think that that is a really beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But I also acknowledge that that's not everybody's reality, right?
No.
There's
mm-hmm.
survival sex workers where they have to engage in sex work because they need to survive.
Yeah.
They need to, like, you know, just like get by. For myself, like, I am really fortunate and really lucky that I have this choice and that I have this agency and that I'm actually good at it and I enjoy it. So,
good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, totally.
So coming back to burlesque
yes.
dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So you say that you do everything from like the get-go, from like
yes.
your costumes and
mm-hmm.
you do your makeup, your hair, you do
yeah.
pick your venues, well, pick your show. Well,
yes.
you have to book yourself some shows.
Exactly.
So can you kind of walk us through like a normal, like a week in your life? Like, how do you get all your...
How do I get my ish together?
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna I was like, maybe not now.
All right. So from Monday to, I'll say, Thursday, I'm working in the club. I am preparing for my gigs for the weekend. I am going into the studio and rehearsing. I'm working on a costume. I'm either sewing with my machine. I'm hand sewing. I'm gluing rhinestones. Oh, and all the while simultaneously just like taking care of myself.
Yeah.
And then come weekend, I'm still working in the club and I also have burlesque gigs. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of hopping around. Kind of like one night I'll be at the club, one night I'll be performing. And then come Sunday, that's like my quote unquote day of rest, where I need to clean the house and unpack my suitcase and just kind of
Your suitcase.
Yeah, because I carry my costumes around.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My costumes are big. So like I'm like always hauling ass like on the weekends with my suitcase. I get stopped so many times. Like guys will come up to me and be like, what's in the suitcase? Like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to work. They're like, what kind of work?
Mind your business.
What's exactly. And then like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, like, the classic, like, your boyfriend lets you walk around with your suitcase like that. Like, I wouldn't do that to you. Let me be your man. I'm like, honey, I'm queer, first of all. And, like, fuck you.
Oh my god. Yeah. Like for the first part, like mind your own, I hate when people just come up to me and like, did I talk to you? Did I ask you? Like, why are you even like considering me? Like, go away. Oh my god. Yeah. But yeah, no. Oh my god. Screw everyone else. But okay. So talking about your costume and everything.
Yes.
Like, what makes your shows different from every, like, what's particular about your show?
So okay, so my tagline is the rock star of Montreal burlesque, and really keeping with that, like, my first love was music, so, like, what really inspired me growing up was, like, rock stars from the 70s, like, particularly David Bowie. He's my idol.
Well, you dressed as him for Halloween, so I would have
supposed. I've also got a lightning bolt tattoo under my armpit.
No.
In any case, so I really, like, portray this kind of rock star sex goddess on stage. Okay. So it's like really about the energy and the force and kind of like storytelling through the eyes of this like rock and roll goddess. Like, okay. I could, for example, I could be doing like a 1920s, like typically Gatsby themed act, but like the spirit of rock and roll will always be the underlayer. Mm-hmm. And that's like, that's something that I acknowledge and that also my peers acknowledge too. They're just like, yeah, she's rock and roll.
She's rock and roll.
And I love that. Like, yeah. That's, you know.
So how could you like describe one of your costumes? Like, is it more like.
Sure. Yeah.
Because like, all I have in head right now is like metal, like metallic things. Like, I don't know. Like it's everything that's like okay, eyeshadow.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Sure. So, actually, my signature costume is for my act that's called Fire, and it's on the song Light My Fire by Shirley Bassey, even though it was written by The Doors. So basically, I come out as this like really regal sort of like temptress dressed in this like flowing red gown with these like big bell sleeves that go down to the floor.
And you did that costume?
I actually had a friend made that for me.
Oh, okay.
Her name's Laura Kelly. She's a fantastic seamstress.
Okay.
And a feathered cloak on top.
Oh.
And I kind of swish around, and then the music changes, and I just rip off this dress and a really smart kind of striptease reveal. And then underneath, I am completely dressed in this beautiful red and gold beaded fringe. This like bra, this shimmy belt, this panty, and I have these like thigh high gold sequin boots that I like kick in the air. It's like I have superpowers. I'm this like beaded fringe clad Amazon, and wow. I feel like a rock and roll superhero. And so it's not just like aesthetically looking rock and roll, but it's like how you portray yourself, how you feel, the energy that you give off, connecting with your audience, like turning them on and empowering yourself while simultaneously empowering like specifically the female identifying people in the audience, because it's so important. Like in society, like throughout your upbringing, you get socialized like if you're a female or you identify as female, Like, don't be too loud. Don't draw too much attention to yourself. Don't dress like that. You're mm-hmm. going to get unwanted attention. But it's like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. This is my body. This is my choice. I'm going to do what I want with it. And I think that I'm so lucky to be a burlesque dancer and to have this medium to express myself, because I would go crazy if I didn't have this medium. It's really like creative self-expression. And it's an art form in which, like, you have the freedom to do whatever you want to do. Like, you can go on stage and subvert typical stereotypes that have been traditionally harmful to, like, women, you know. Or you can just, like, go on stage and do something completely ridiculous yeah. that is also equally subversive.
Mm-hmm.
It's storytelling, and there's, like, some kind of transformation that happens within any given burlesque act. And it's super powerful in that sense.
Okay.
So I really think that, like, striptease or stripping in general, it's a political act, and it has, like, the potential for social change. Like, it's fucking powerful.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
So do you interact with your audience?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Absolutely.
In what ways?
Sometimes, you know, I'll, like, get right up close and personal with them and, like, lick their face or sit on their lap. Or
are they usually all into it, or do you have to kind of spot who is and who?
Oh, yeah, like, you gotta read body language sure. Or, like, if it's something that is, like, a little more, even more, like, interactive, like, let's say you bring somebody up on stage, for example, to, like, partake in your burlesque act front on, like, I'll try to whisper, like, in their ear, like, are you okay with this, like, can you consent to this, and kind of, like, go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, also reading body language, because, like, I don't want to make people uncomfortable. So
you want everyone to have a good time.
Exactly.
But there are obviously some that are more comfortable and some that are more just at the back and just want to look from far away, you know.
Yes.
So you interact with audience, but have you ever gotten, like, pushback from audience? I hope not.
No.
Yeah.
Because, like, the unique thing about a burlesque show or, like, a typically burlesque audience is that you're coming to a burlesque show. You know what you're coming in for, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least I hope so.
Yeah.
Like, in the olden days, like, back in the golden era of burlesque, it was, like, for a working class, typically male audience, right? But it's not like that anymore. Like, most of the time at my shows, I would say it's, like, a 60-40 female-to-male ratio. And it's
really?
Bachelorette parties that are coming in. It's not bachelor parties, honey.
No way.
Yeah. So, like, it's a arguably, like, feminist, geared at women art form.
Do you prefer
beautiful.
That? Do you notice a difference between the audience? Because, like, from the one time that I went to a strip club, it was mostly men.
Yes.
So and when you perform burlesque, you say that there's a big crowd of women.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the energy is different, and do you feel like you'd rather, like,
totally okay. Because, like, the amount of times that I've had people come up to me after my show and it's like, oh, it's a woman, and she's like, wow, that was really amazing. Like, that really helped me. Like, I want to do this. And, like, watching you, I feel like I can do this. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, it's like small victories, right? So, like, when I get somebody that approaches me and says that, like, I touch them in, like, an emotional and spiritual way, like, I feel like, yeah, this is why I'm doing this.
That's great.
Like, this is what I want to be doing, you know? Like, expressing and, like, helping myself as well as helping others. And I think that's, like, what a impactful activist, like, does, you know?
So, okay.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's, like, doing your part of activism, but, like, in a very subtle way.
Like, yeah, well, like I was telling you earlier, I got a women's studies degree, right? I gotta put that shit to some use.
And then pay university to just buy books and get in debt.
Yeah.
Might as well use that knowledge.
Yes.
Okay, so So do you remember, like, your first performance?
Oh, my God. Yes, I do.
How was it?
So scary.
I can't imagine.
Like, I got off stage and vomited.
Like, halfway through the show or, like, afterwards?
Afterwards, honey.
Oh, my God. Because like, it was nervous. Like, what was a crowd? What were you doing?
So it was the Arabesque Burlesque Student Showcase. It was, like, they offer this course called Class B. And essentially it teaches you how to put together your very first burlesque act. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the session, there's always like a student showcase where you get to perform the act that you just spent all these weeks putting together.
Yeah.
So this first, and this was the first ever Class B. And the school is directed by the Lady Josephine, who actually spent years mentoring me. And that's where I kind of like learned all the nitty gritty of burlesque, and she really taught me so much. In any case, this Class B showcase was in Cafe Cleopatra. The upstairs is a cabaret mm-hmm. venue, while the yeah. downstairs is a strip club. And a bunch of my friends came out to see me, and I was so excited, and I put together my very first act called Sailor, and it's on Mac the Knife by Bobby Darin, and it's just this like very kind of like pin-up, cupcakey kind of act, but it's also subversive because there's, like, this really ferocious side to this character. She, like, just, like, taunts the audience with this little knife, but then I use this little knife to actually take my clothes off.
Okay.
In any case, I got on stage. I kind of blacked out. Like, I don't remember actually physically being on the stage. I just remember getting onto the stage and then getting off.
Do you remember anything about your performance?
No.
Oh my God.
I got off stage and then my body was kind of in shock because I had so much adrenaline going on to the stage.
Yeah.
That when I got off stage, my body just like crashed and I got yeah. really nauseous. Mm-hmm.
I can't relate to that feeling because I did theater for my whole life. And like you get on stage, you do what you got to do, you do it good or whatever, you do it bad, but you still do it, and then you get off and you're just like,
yes.
Bleh.
Yeah, exactly. Like luckily that doesn't happen anymore, but
yeah, because you're used to it now too, yeah. right? Do you still get stressed?
Oh, heck yes.
Oh, okay.
But honestly, the nerves are good. Like adrenaline is uh-huh. what helps you do a kick-ass performance. Like I would be worried for the day that I stop getting nervous.
Okay.
Because then that means I'm not, like, as invested in it anymore, right? And that's when you stop caring. And that's when you give half-ass performances.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're just like, oh, I got this in the bag. It's going to be fine.
Then do it half-assed, too. You know, you're not in... Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
I know.
So, honestly, my adrenaline keeps me in check. And, yeah, carries me through.
That's a great way of describing, like... Yes. Stress.
Yeah, no, totally.
It's to keep you in check. That's yeah. that's good. It's mentally noted. Thank you. And so what was my next question? I wanted to know, like, what stresses you the most? Like, wardrobe malfunctions or, like, the crowd not getting into it or, like, you messing up? Because it's a solo show, so if you mess up something, you can kind of just play it cool.
Totally.
Okay.
I think, yeah, wardrobe malfunctions are a scary thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're taking our clothes off and, you know, what happens if you can't get your bra undone?
Has that happened to you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What do you do?
Well, you slide that bitch down okay. and you tassel twirl, you okay. know, like the show has to go on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm always really scared of wardrobe malfunctions happening, but I also rehearse a lot. So if I, you know, if I'm rehearsing in the studio and I see like sights of like potential to fuck up, like I fix that
yeah.
before my next show. Mm-hmm. So honestly, the key to avoiding these problems is just practice, 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 practice.
Mm-hmm. And do you ever perform with other people?
So the only other person that I've actually done numbers with, is my partner in crime, sister, just love of my life, Aria De La Noche.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a couple of really hilarious duets.
That's neat.
I was like, lesbian fantasy kind of like burlesque acts. Like our most recent one was on I Want to Be Your Dog by Iggy Pop, and it was just this like lesbian bondage fantasy.
Okay.
The crowd didn't really know how to react.
We
did it as like an opener for our show, and a lot of times people need to be eased into that kind of thing.
And it was too much for first timers.
Yeah, they didn't really make a lot of noise.
Ooh. Do you, is it, I guess I'm gonna assume that it's more encouraging when you hear people scream and
definitely.
Okay.
A lot of hosts will actually like in their beginning introduction, like, is this your first time? Like, do we have any burlesque virgins in the audience?
Oh.
Like, the more that you give us, the more we'll take off. Like, we thrive off that energy from the audience. But at the same time, fuck them. Like, if they're not, like, giving me anything to work off of, I'm still going to give it my 110%, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, we do thrive off the audience's energy for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, because you're doing both, you're both a stripper and you're also a burlesque dancer.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this is mentally, like, do you have to... Like, do you have to mentally or physically get prepared to do all that work?
Definitely.
As opposed to, like, a government job, you know? Like, like, do you have, like, what do you do to prepare yourself?
Well, I train. I take pole classes.
Okay.
I do stretching. I actually teach burlesque classes with the Arabesque Burlesque School.
Okay.
So
you keep fit and you keep... your muscles
as
going
as best as I can. Yeah.
I
try to maintain a healthy diet. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
But I mean, my body is my workforce. So like a couple days ago, I like moved my ankle in a bad way and it kind of rolled out, and like last night when I was working at the club, I was like, "Fuck, I'm in pain."
Oh no.
And like that's something that I think about, right? Like, what if I was to, like, God forbid, like, seriously injure myself? I can't work. Like, my body is my means of working. Like, both of my jobs are really physically intense.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to take good care of myself. I got to, like, pay attention to stretch. I got to really just take care of myself. So on the off days that I am not working, I really try to just... take it easy.
Yeah. Take an Uber
to
come here.
Take a nap. Drink some water.
Because I can't, like, what about mentally?
Oh, I'm tired all the time. I'm so tired.
Because, like, for me, for example, like, I'm a social person when I love what I'm doing. You know, like, I'm a social person here because I like radio and I like talking about sex.
Exactly.
But, like,
let's talk about sex.
Yeah. But when I'm doing other things and I need to talk to people and, like, it drains all the energy from me.
It's
and
hard.
At the end of the day, I'm just so tired. Like, I give all the nice in me. So I'm just rude to everyone.
Yeah. It's definitely, like, I think that. Out of the two, I think that, like, my club job is a lot more emotionally and mentally draining. I, like, a lot of times play therapist when I'm working at the club. So that, you know, that becomes really emotionally taxing.
Yeah.
And if people are rude, like, and disrespectful, because that still happens.
Yeah.
Then that's really, that's, like, something that'll maybe stay with me for a little bit. Like, oh, I got treated like shit tonight. That really sucked.
Yeah.
But kind of just, like, taking the time to just be with yourself and just take it easy and tune everything out and focus on stuff that makes you happy. Like, for me, it's, like, listening to music, playing music, eating, like, a really nice cheese board, drinking some wine.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, stuff that's just indulging in the stuff that is going to make me feel happy because I deserve it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, in burlesque shows, like, you get backstage and you're getting ready with all your peers. And sometimes it's loud and sometimes you don't want to be in that environment. Or, like, after the show, you got to interact with the audience or interact with your peers again or the producer of the show. and it becomes a lot. And if you're somebody that like struggles in a social setting like that, it can be really daunting.
Yeah.
But interacting with people doesn't have to be this like huge thing, right? Like you can set a goal for yourself like, okay, if I'm going to go to this after party, I'm just going to spend 60 minutes there. I'm going to have one or two drinks max, and then I'm going to get out. And you still showed up. You still did the work. You still made an appearance. You still made the connections that you needed to make to then gain access to doing this gig or this gig or that gig. But you didn't, like, fuck yourself up with all the socializing, right?
Yeah.
You still got to bed at a decent hour.
You gotta respect your boundaries, too, and your limits.
Totally.
Because there's so much that you can do. There's so much your body can handle and that your brain can handle for what it's worth. So, yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. Yeah, respect. Listen to your body,
yes,
everyone, and respect what it's saying. Sometimes it's for the best.
Totally.
Yeah. So, when you started doing burlesque dancing, mm-hmm. did you get any pushback or negative feedback from like your peers, or have you always just grown up around people who were accepting of this?
Oh my god.
Like, have you ever encountered awful experiences when entering the world? Because you're kind of new and everything. So I don't know how it works. Is everyone just accepting from the beginning and everyone's just like, you go girl? Or is just like competition and people are like jealous and mean? Or I don't know.
Okay, well, I mean, in the Montreal burlesque community, we're super fortunate to like have a pretty awesome supportive community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always going to be like cattiness here and there, but that's not even just like in the burlesque community, right? That's like with any community.
It's
there's
true.
Always going to be some fucking drama, some cattiness. Like, that's inevitable. We're people, we're complicated. Like,
we're complicated.
We are so complicated.
We have emotions.
Yeah. And like dealing with, because like you have your own shit, right? But then there's like everybody else's stuff, and like trying to find like a healthy balance and medium and like accommodate everybody is so exhausting.
Yeah.
In any case, we have a really supportive community. We like try to lift each other up. It's amazing. Like, recently a performer's mother got sick, and like we did a fundraiser show to like raise funds like for
good
her
for
mother,
you.
You know? So like it's stuff like that.
Yeah.
The support is real. It's beautiful. We're super lucky. In other communities, there's just like drama up the wazoo, and I don't even understand, because like we're all in this fucking fight and battle together. That's like how I see it in my eyes, at least.
That's,
like,
yeah.
I mean, burlesque is like pretty progressive and like an empowering movement, but not everybody sees that. And like, you know, when I first started doing burlesque, my family kind of didn't understand it, and they were like, oh, this is bad. She's a stripper.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a misconception as well, because it's not, two things that are
different.
They're different,
right?
Yeah.
They're different, but they're also similar.
Yeah.
But they're different.
Yeah.
My family was just like really freaked out, and like to this day, I don't really talk to my dad's side of the family, you know?
Mm.
My mom's side, like, they were skeptical, but then when they saw that, like, okay, she is an artist and she is good at this, they were supportive.
It's often like that.
Yes.
Yeah, they need to know that you're doing well and that you're actually successful for them to accept it.
Exactly.
And, I mean, like, if I were to have become, like, a theater kid or whatever, I would have hoped that that support was there from the beginning.
Exactly.
And not once I'm in movies, but I mean, I'm not an actress, but I'm
you could
when
be,
I daydream and when I think about that possibility, that's what I would hope.
Yes.
Okay, so we're gonna take a short teeny tiny break, music break, that actually Sugar chose. It's another song of hers, by the way. The first song that we played, do you perform on the song?
I have once upon a time.
Okay.
I mean, it's not one of my main acts, it was like for a one-off show, but I thought that since the show is about, like, sex positivity, that Bikini Kill and Riot Girl in general would be a good fit.
Good. Cute. Okay, nice. So, do you want to introduce a new song?
This next song is called Decepticon, and it's by Le Tigre.
Thank you, everyone. That's Angelo 1690.
Hey, what's Concordia Music Zone out?
Well, what isn't it? We hold music and social events, as well as workshops, and host a show on CJLO 1690 AM.
A show? What do you play?
Hip-hop, soul, jazz, and R&B, with a focus on what's new and local. You can also expect interviews and live performances.
We provide a platform for local artists to promote their music, art, and projects, and to connect them with the Montreal community.
I'm sold. When's your show?
Every Monday from 4 till 5 p.m. Only on CJLO 1690 AM and online at cjlo.com.
And make sure to follow hashtag CMZO on social media.
Ready for some thrills, spills, chills, and kills? Fantasia, North America's premier genre film festival, takes over the downtown campus of Concordia University once again. Come get your frights and delights with incredible features and shorts from around the world from July 11th to August 1st. CJLO DJs spin live between films in the Hall Theater every day of the festival. Visit FantasiaFestival.com for more information on movies, tickets, and showtimes. And be sure to listen to CJLO and check out CJLO.com for your chance to win tickets. This is all brought to you by CJLO 1690 AM and the fine boys and ghouls at Fantasia!
Welcome back, everyone. Sorry, I messed up the mic. Welcome back, everyone. You were listening to Decepticon by Le Tigre. I didn't know the song existed because I'm not really into rock and roll, but it's a good song. I'm not into rock and roll, but I can recognize when a good song is a good song.
What do you like?
Not rock and roll. No, I like, what do I like? I like, honestly, I don't want to be that kind of person who's like, I like everything. But like, I like certain genres of music depending on the season.
Sure. Yeah.
So like right now it's summer, so I'm really into like little techno kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and like
little
vibes.
Picnic.
Yeah, picnic and like clinic. You know, I like that. It's kind of fun. It's leisure.
Yeah,
but like during winter, like I'll listen to like alternative rock or like hardcore hip hop.
Cool.
Like hardcore rap. It depends. Like I said, it depends on the season.
Sure.
So we don't have that much time left, everyone. This hour goes by in like 10 seconds. It's crazy. But like, I still want to give my guest some time to like express her. We'll talk about like upcoming things that you're doing. Like, are you like, you're a performer, so obviously you have tons of shows.
Yeah.
So what's new? Like, what's coming up this weekend?
Okay, so this Saturday, I invite you all to come to Cirque de Boudoir's Summer Sleaze Ball, which is at a club on Saint Laurent called Le Ministère.
Okay.
Then next week I'll actually be in Toronto. So if any of you are in the six,
I
cannot fucking believe I just said that.
Let's go.
I will be performing at my favorite punk rock dive bar called the Bovine Sex Club next Wednesday.
That's nice.
Then next Sunday I'll be performing at the Revival Bar as part of the Toronto Burlesque Festival. Then a show that I am producing in August is called Rock and Roll Babeland, and that will be Thursday, August 22nd at the Wiggle Room, which is, fun fact, the only specifically burlesque bar in all of Canada.
No.
Yes.
Hey, Montreal, let's go.
Yes.
We're the city.
Let's go.
Let's go. Hashtag 514. Let's do it.
And if you want, you can totally follow me on social media, at Sugar Vixen, on Facebook, all the things. Stay
you have
posted.
It all. Twitter too?
Yes. No.
You
not Twitter. Girl, I can barely keep my head in check. Like at all the platforms. No.
But you have Facebook. Nobody's using Facebook anyways.
Okay. Maybe I'll get on Twitter. But Facebook and Instagram at Sugar Vixen.
Okay, cool. Everyone noted Sugar Vixen on Instagram and on Facebook, apparently. So to finish off on a really good note, do you have any advice for people who want to get into burlesque but are maybe like too nervous or too shy, or like what can you tell them?
My advice is to go to as many burlesque shows as possible, stick around, talk to the producers, take classes with Arabesque Burlesque. We are so lucky to have such an efficiently run burlesque school in this city. Take classes, go to shows, talk to people. Right? Just
yeah.
Like go out and talk to people.
Branch out.
Exactly.
Networking.
Yeah. Networking. If you're shy, drink some tequila. If you don't like to drink, I don't know, send send performers a message on Facebook. I would be more than happy to talk with you, to meet with you over coffee, whatever floats your boat, and kind of get you started, because new performers are popping up all the time in this city because of the school. So just get into it. Join
us. Good. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming all the way here, Loyola. Oh, my God. An hour away from my house. It drains me coming here.
Oh, babe.
But anyways, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
It was great having you. We'll for sure keep in touch. And we'll for sure, like, I'll have you back on the show some other time, too.
I would love to come back.
Kind of catch up on how's your life, how you've been doing in the burlesque world.
Totally.
Most definitely. All right, so everyone, that's about, like, all the time that we have. I would just like to say that, as per usual, it was a nice show. I don't want to get on my high horse, but I'm really proud of what I do. So it was a good show. And if while listening, you were like, oh, my God, sex, it's such an interesting subject. It's so vast. Like, there are so many branches of that parapluie, and you want to talk about sex with me, then, and because you think that I have a comforting voice and that you think that I'm relatable, then you should most definitely email me, shoot me a message. We can for sure arrange something and talk about some things related to sex. Like, I am down for anything. We can talk about my personal sex life. We can talk about yours. We can talk about little teeny tiny biggie, everything. Everything related to sex is down. I have people come and talk about just casual sex, and it's always a fun time. So for sure, DM me. You can message me on spankme.talkshow@gmail.com. And I'm pretty good at responding emails. I like to say that I'm pretty on point with that. But yet again, sometimes I go through phases where I'm MIA for 3 months. So let's hope that you get me on a good phase. So for now, everyone, we'll finish on a song. This was actually my choice of song now. My turn. And I decided to pick one of Mike Lowry's song. I don't know if anybody knows who they are. They're a group of boys from England, and I really love them. They kind of do like R&B soul music. And this one is called Legless. So enjoy it. Please have some fun. Drink responsibly this weekend. Make good choices. Respect yourself. And that's on that. See you next week, everyone.
We ain't got a lid like the sky is falling. Hope you'll be around way past the morning. Caught me off guard the way the sun is on you. Ain't no better feeling. Drinking champagne just to drown the noises. Got me all ears when I hear your voice. Wanna know what you need. Take it way past the ceiling.
We getting fucked up and we so high. We should do this all day and night.
Show on the road up.